A character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Stunt Granny Audio 198. This is Jeremy. Joining me this week's Kevin. Yeah, so we got a bunch of stuff to talk about, so we're going to get all that stuff out of the way and get into it.
Yeah, I was going to say, how can we... We're just getting right into it. We didn't need to throw anything to the side.
Yeah, well, I was actually going to mention, you know, we kind of messed up last week, and we did not have a regular Stunt Granny audio show. Instead, we had a Resolution 5 review show with Dan Keister and Kevin. So we could say that that was the plan, but it wasn't. But two of the four members of the site got kind of drunk last Tuesday and didn't do a show. So
And it wasn't the guy that talked about Sippy Time beer.
Oh, it's the two closet drunks. One that just does it all the time now, and then the other one that does it whenever his boss takes him out all the time. But I explained that, right? Like, what happened?
For who?
For me?
No.
Oh, well...
I didn't realize you got drunk, too.
Oh, yeah. I was blowing up Dusty. Dusty said that's one of his new favorite things, is when I get drunk, I drunk text Dusty, of all people. apparently, Friday, I accused... who's the guy? Marvin Harrison, right? Or is it Reggie Wayne?
The guy that Billy.
Was the wide... No. He was the guy for the Colts, the wide receiver for the Colts,
He shot a guy outside of his bar in Philly.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so I don't have the text.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. Yeah, and then he said he came back with something else, and I think I called Reggie Wayne gay for some reason. Or in my terms, Reggie Wayne is a fag who can't catch the ball. I don't know where this stuff comes from half the time. And then going back to Tuesday, we were supposed to have a corporate function at the local baseball stadium here for the minor league team, the Greenville Drive. So I was waiting for a lease, and there's this new bar called Max Speed Shop. It's kind of a local chain sort of thing. They have 78 or 87 craft brews on tap.
Nice.
And, you know, those aren't cheap. But on Tuesdays, all of their non-high-gravity beers, so 7.7 and below, were all half price. So, you know, you get one beer, and it's only $2, and it's actually, like, tasty beer, and not Miller Lite or Bud Light or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you kind of have another one. And then the girl shows up, so you have another one, and then... it starts raining, so you don't really want to go to a baseball game, so you just stay at the bar because it's like a torrential downpour. And the next thing you know, it's 11:30 at night. You know, it just kind of happens. And then you get your $45 bill on top of your $22 bill, and you try to figure out where how the hell you're getting home that night. So, yeah. And then I missed Eric's text asking me if I was still drunk. And I was like, it doesn't fade very fast. So, yeah, we just never got around to a show. So,
rock and roll.
Yep.
Yeah, no, because yeah. I just remember finally figuring out that that Eric was drunk, and I was like, oh, okay, that helps fill in the blanks, because I thought it was supposed to be him and Dusty last week. So,
it was, and then I was gonna try and get in on it, but it didn't work out that way. So, oh well. But yeah, so sorry about that, gang. And now we can get into the actual topics for this week. I don't know. Where do you want to start? Do we want to start with Raw or start with TNA or the One Ring of Honor topic?
No. We can't do that because I'll just be ready to. That really is the worst of all the topics, which is why I put it last.
Well, all right. Well, let's start with what's fresh then.
Okay.
All right. It's kind of how we do it most of the time anyways, I guess. But I don't know where it's really – we're not going to do an overview of Raw. I guess we'll do a quick recap of some of the events. But I think I texted you last night, and let's just start with this, and it kind of works into the Triple H part. This three-hour Raw thing's not working. It's just too long. You start the show at 8, it ends at 11:10 still. They should not have a runoff anymore. That's it shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, no. I'm not even joking. I'm done with the overrun. Done. Like, I am not watching it, period. Like, they have way too much of my time anyway. Fuck them if they go over.
Yeah, I'm just watching last night, and it got to 9:15, 9:30, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm ready for the show to be over. And honestly, the events of the show are just getting muddled. I mean, it's nice seeing different guys out there, but I don't know. There aren't that many. There's no pizzazz to the show, I guess.
Well, yeah, like they're including new people and they're trying to do stuff, but then they pretty much just shit on it right after it. Like, to me, the women's match was kind of a perfect example. It's just like, okay, we need to have them on TV a little bit more. So they've had Layla win the last couple of weeks to help build up the women's title a little bit. But then they have Vicky Guerrero standing there and watch her the whole time.
Yeah.
And have the camera on her half the time. And it's just like, well, what the hell are you doing? Like, you're just completely undermining what you're trying to do here. Like, there's no reason she couldn't have just come out after the match was over and not been a distraction the whole time and delivered the same message. Like, that message was not dependent on her looking like an ass standing there while the women's match took place. It's just like, it's not that hard. Just like if they just tweak things a little bit. And I mean, that's what ends up getting so maddening. It's just like, you're killing your own logic here. Like, you kind of have it right, but you're just, you're not getting it right still.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't seem like anything's really going right for it. And not trying to just glance over, but I just can't get by how long the show is. And going to what you were saying, just not rut and stuff, because that's for another league, I guess. But it's hard to put. I'm trying to think about how to describe what watching Raw is like, and it's not even watching paint dry. It's not that bad, but
yeah, no. I'm waiting until like 9:15 or 9:30 to watch, so I get to buzz through all the commercials to the end of the show.
Right.
And I'm still exhausted by the time I get to the end of it.
And you know what? See, part of my problem is I've just been, since I've been working so late and getting home later, I get home and Raw's already on. So I turn it on at like 8:15, 8:30. And, you know, with fast forwarding, you're caught up almost immediately.
Oh.
So I'm watching this most of the time. And I don't know. I guess if they had more exciting acts, maybe that would help. I mean, as much as I like Damian Sandow, he's not much. He's not like must see. He's not a tune in right now and watch sort of thing.
No, because I mean, I'm trying to think of, oh, what was he in that kind of throwaway tag team match?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he got Sin Cara splashing from the outside, and Brodus gave the one And Elise pointed out very quickly that Broderus's titty was popping out as he gave a splash to Cody.
Yeah, no, the evidently the women like looking at man titty.
That was just gross, man. I noticed it too, but I wasn't going to say anything. She just went, his tits hanging out. I was like, ah, that's right. I'm like, oh, I saw it. I'm like, ugh. But no, there's no axe. Dolph Ziggler should have gotten a much bigger rub off of beating and putting Chris Jericho away. Nothing with that. He came out to his music and then blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Well, and then the other problem with that is he pointed out the obvious. Jericho gets one win, and then they expect that to put Ziggler over when he beats him the following night.
Yes.
It's just like even if Jericho would have stuck around until, and I mean, I know he had the tour dates and whatnot, but if they had, you know, let him win some other matches,
mm-hmm,
and build him up a little bit more than just that one win in between, in between them rematch, and even if he waited until the next pay-per-view to take off, you know, and let Jericho win against, I don't know, is there any heel worth beating these days?
No. Del Rio, maybe.
Oh, Jesus.
I know, as dumb as that sounds. Punk, but that wasn't going to happen.
Well, I mean, Del Rio's worth beating, but unfortunately the WWE is just not going to let that happen.
But no, that's really it.
They're bound and determined to shove him down our throats until we realize just his extent of terribleness.
Yeah, Elise pointed out, she was like, did Del Rio lose weight? He looks different since he's come back full-time, and I can't put my finger on it. And this is kind of out of the blue.
Right.
Just looks different.
Yeah, and I don't know. He might look a little bit thinner or something like that.
But anyways. But yeah, you're right with the Jericho thing. There was nobody that would have mattered at all, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we'd been harping on it for years at this point that they haven't built up their mid-card, and moving to a three-hour show really exposes that because there's only so many replays that you can run everywhere.
Yeah.
And then even if you go to SmackDown this past Friday, all of a sudden there's this big feud over the tag team belts. And like... Uh-huh. Was it six teams showed up and started brawling?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, these guys haven't been on TV at all. Like, if you guys felt like you needed a tag division to fill all this time, you should have had these teams winning. Instead of having Ryback beat a bunch of jobbers again, have your tag teams beat those same jobbers.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what to do with Ryback at that point because, you know, he's kind of in the same situation where he's got nobody.
Well, after almost paralyzing Jack Swagger last night, I wouldn't expect him to be in the ring with too many legitimate people anytime soon. He fell down delivering a clothesline or something. They're supposed to run the ropes, and he fell down. So Swagger corrected enough, and then later on he dropped Swagger on his head. I mean, as much as I like the character of Skip Sheffield, I mean, I liked it when he was, you know, he suddenly turned into the ass kicker bully for Nexus. But this Ryback shit, and by the way.
Yeah, no, but this kind of leads into what our general topic was, though. I mean, I think, and you can continue. But
yeah.
He was one of the few guys to get a response last night. Like, I don't know why the whole feed me more thing is actually caught on. Like, I don't quite get it. But
people love chanting. I know we goof on Ring of Honor all the time and how bad they are. How people like just chanting, "This is awesome," whatever else. And dude, like I was telling you, I got the RNC on in the background. Well, I did. And they kept trying to get chants started. Americans love the chant. Just plain and simple. They were chanting Mitz, kinda. And they were chanting, "We built this," which it took me a second to figure out what they were talking about.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I don't know. It's the Feed Me More thing. They incorporated it into his music. So everyone's like, "Yeah, all right, here we go." And, you know, any of that stuff, man. If any of these wrestlers could have got a chant worked into their act, it would seem like they're over. But it's just, I mean, little kids love doing it. Then the dads are like, "Oh, yeah, I'll encourage this." And they start doing it. And that's the only reason.
Is that why Zack Ryder got kicked off TV?
Pretty much, yeah. So it's only a matter of time before Ryback gets kicked off.
And him dumping people on their heads is not going to help the situation.
But you actually bring up a good point with Zack Ryder. The woo, woo, woo. Everyone loves chanting along with that.
Yeah, and I mean, and people were still doing it. You know, I mean, it was definitely to a weaker degree than where he'd been at. But,
yeah, well, oh, shit, they sufficiently pulled the rug out from under him. But apparently he still sells merchandise like crazy. I don't understand that one at all. But, hey, I mean, for him, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, the one I was going to say is the by the way thing. What were in your review, the totally half-assed, almost live, totally half-assed review of Raw,
mm-hmm.
Melissa was doing the Ryback thing?
Oh, yeah, you know how he does kind of the arm swing when he says, "Feed me more"? She just started doing that. She's like laying down on the couch, "Feed me more."
That would have been great if you guys were like out to dinner somewhere. She just start doing it. Just to fuck with you. I'd be like, "Wait a minute." And that, you know, a little waitress is staring at you, whatever. That'd be really fun, actually. But well, as long as it's not after sex. Listen, Toot, you got 30 to. You got. All right, look, we're older, so you got about an hour to two before this is happening again. So just not with the chance, all right, Toots? so anyways, yeah, that was all. I was reading that. I was like trying to figure out what you were talking about. Well, it's better than Elise going, "Why are you still watching this? Stupid."
Oh.
The reason she's saying that is because I will sit there and go, "Oh my God, this is so stupid. I don't know why you're watching this." Yeah, I don't actually have a defense anymore.
That's the worst thing, because she's like, she's just like, "Wow, you were really angry in last week's column." And it's like, I don't know what else to do, and I mean, that's why I kind of had that in the intro, and I kept on mentioning it. It was just, it's mind-numbing. Like, it's...
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, again, to go back to the point that I made in the column... You can have a good child's product that adults want to watch. I mean, Disney doesn't make money by making crappy movies. And, I mean, Pixar doesn't do it by making crappy movies either.
Yeah.
You know, they make good movies that entertain both the kids and the adults. So it's just... And the WWE, I don't know. I don't know if they balanced it better when we were younger than I think they did. Or how do I want to put that?
I don't
know.
It
feels like there were more adults that were maybe okay with it, I guess, then. Or at least I feel like more adults would have been okay with it then.
Yeah
that's what I was looking for.
I always try to think of this stuff in the proper perspective. Like, you know, we grew up with Hogan, and, you know, it shifted for a while. And then, like, when we were in college, you had the Attitude Era. So it was like, yeah, this is actually pretty cutting edge. And this, it almost seems like this got taken to a total extreme of childishness I mean, I don't remember, and I'm trying to think, I don't remember a guy having his hand, I'm sorry, not even his hand, a sock he puts over, a sleeve he puts over his arm that says it's a snake. And you're supposed to believe that it has a mind of its own. What? But, for the adults, the snake likes pussy, apparently. So, it's like, I don't understand what's going on here. Last night, to get the pussy, the fake snake sock arm sleeve sling thing knocked out Heath Slater, right? Is that who it was?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're expecting Santino with his friend the Cobra, the Pussy Hound, to lose again. But no, Pussy Hound figures out, oh, to get the girl, I have to knock this guy out and get the win the match. That would make sense if it was a tag team. But this is the guy's arm. The guy's arm. I can't think of anybody, like the missing link.
Or the Animal Steel.
He did have mine.
Mine.
But George Animal Steel was also an animal, not an Italian gentleman with a bad haircut. So, that doesn't make sense. Or a guy playing an Italian gentleman.
Various bad haircuts.
So, I've been racking my brain trying to figure out if we're being too critical and we're looking through the rose-colored glasses at what we grew up with.
It's impossible to. Well, and I guess that's why I was just trying to word it right, because there's no way. Like, I mean, I watched that stuff already, so even if I rewatch it, I'm gonna have a different perspective than I would have then.
Yeah,
you know, like if I was an adult in the '80s, you know, I think I would have had a different. I would have had a different upbringing. So seeing that stuff. You know, it's hard to compare in that manner, really,
yeah.
In any way.
But there was still some realism to it. It was still kind of geared towards kids back then.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's like now, it's like fucking Ron Killings talks to, or R-Truth, whatever, talks to an invisible boy, and he gets mad when Daniel Bryan kicked him in the face, and then... He wanted Daniel Bryan to fist bump him. Now, what's wrong with just the baby faces coming out, picking out the kids in the crowd, giving them their sunglasses, or, you know, tussling their hair? That's how they placated the child audience, and they didn't swear, but they still had good cohesive angles, like a decent story. Followed up with good in-ring action. You can do a PG show with all of that. They just don't do it. I don't know if it's a matter of not having the right personalities, meaning wrestlers and writers, but I don't know. This may be approaching dead horse material.
Well, and I mean, I think we've kind of kept on noting that we try to kind of go more general just because we feel like we've beaten the dead horse a lot, but we haven't really gotten around to it too much because we've tried to stay somewhat topic-driven and, you know, done it in a more generalized sense.
Yeah.
But even this, we're not, like, busting down, like, every 15-minute segment in and of itself.
Yeah. Well, I think kind of going into all that, that's kind of the problem with this Triple H thing, with his supposed retirement, or, you know, he didn't say he was retiring, whatever, but he didn't say he was going to continue wrestling. That angle, to me, has had absolutely zero heat behind it. There's no reaction at all. And it just seems to me that people just don't buy it.
He really had to milk everything to get a reaction because, like, he'd say stuff, and it's just like, and again, like, I like to use Melissa as a barometer, because she's like, I've been watching for 4 months now. I know that you're not retiring.
Yeah.
She's like, you're pretty much retired already, but you're going to show back up.
Yeah. It's like you're not active. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, why does it matter if you say the word retire or not? Like, whatever he does, he's not going to be a weekly character.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It doesn't matter if you use the word retire or not. It's just like, pop in and out, do your thing. Like, but again, like, they have so little to go with that they need that 15-minute segment to add up to that total 3 hours.
Uh-huh. I have a different angle on this whole thing. And mine is, they've already shown you when someone's actually retiring, you're getting a hero's send-off. Like, you know, Michaels lost to The Undertaker. Ric Flair lost to Shawn Michaels. Edge came out and said, no, that's it. And, you know, other wrestlers said something about him. And then Triple H just comes out and says, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I don't know, man.
I understand what you're getting at there for sure. Because, and I hadn't even thought about it that way. You know, yeah, you're going to get everyone coming out, you know, real sob, real, you know, like, hey, I'm done. And even right before that, and the other thing I guess that hurt that angle to me is that he already said, here's my match for WrestleMania. Oh, no, that's probably not going to happen. You know, I mean, Lesnar's kind of in the same category where we know he's going to be infrequent. He can only wrestle like a handful of guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine. You know, you know, just let Triple H fall into that category. Like, yeah. And don't tease that mask if you're going to pretend like you're really match. If you're really trying to sell your retirement, just say, hey, I'm done.
Yep.
Like, yeah, it doesn't matter if you're lying or not. Like, I could give a shit less.
Yeah. No, that was part of it, too, was he's like, this is the part I say I'm going to kick Brock's ass. And it's like, oh, okay, you just planted the seed for later. Like, and it kind of goes what I was talking about with, like, Michaels and Flair and Edge. There was none of that. There was no, well, I'm going to get that, I'm going to, you know, I could tell you I'm going to do this. But I can't, so, you know, like, not to build the interest back up to see you again. It's just, that was it.
Yep.
You know, but, I mean, I don't know, man. Part of it, I wonder, is if it's just exhaustion from the time spent on Raw and going through these horribly uninteresting acts. And, like, I to kind of go back a little bit to the acts part real fast, is I can't believe how no one's developing at all. But, you know, one of those things. But they go through this. Like, if they were going to do the Triple H thing, not that I complained about CM Punk opening the show with Jerry Lawler, because that was the best part of the show, was their interaction, which that's next, so don't worry about that. But if they would have let off with Triple H doing that, that would have been fine. That could have set a precedent for the show. So you're like, all right, good, talking segment out of the way. Now we get into action. But it wasn't, and
yeah, I mean, it was built up as something big, and then just even with the manner that it was done in, it didn't feel very big. You know, it was the 10 o'clock hour. Like, if you really want a big, and I mean, I guess that's the other thing that you've conditioned, especially with this 3-hour format, is that the 9 o'clock event and the 10 o'clock event are definitely taking a backseat to whatever's happening in the overrun.
Right. Yep.
So, and even if the guy that's in the 9 o'clock is still in the 11 o'clock, mm-hmm. it's obviously a more important event at 11 o'clock.
Right.
So it's just like, oh, Triple H is coming out at 10, then this isn't that big of a deal.
Well,
either that or you do, like you said, you lead it off at the beginning of the show so that, like, everybody can use it as a, hey, that's, you know, and they can talk about it in their promos or at least address it, especially the baby faces.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah. You know, I didn't think of that part, actually. Yes. They could, like, given you, like, the reactions throughout the night to what they just heard or to what it means. And I mean, I know that they're saying, oh, we're saving it for Twitter. You know, they like doing the scroll of all the wrestlers now and commenting on Twitter about things. But also, I guess you could, you can use Triple H in that 10 o'clock spot, not because it's not a big deal, but because they would use it as bait to keep you going. Because they need a hook for every hour on the hour. They need some sort of hook. And I guess they think Triple H is a big enough draw to get you to tune back in and whatever else. Or I'm sorry, to keep going, I suppose.
Right. I just keep on laughing because now I keep on paying attention to other TV shows just to see if they are doing something at that time. It's so funny that a lot of our shows don't have anything going when it hits, you know, the 30 mark of the program.
Yeah. No, that's supposed to be the hook, or not the hook. Oh, shit. I totally lost what it's called. But anyways, that's supposed to be the tip. Traditionally, an hour show, if depending on if it's like a procedural, that's where the hook comes in. And they go, whoa, the killer kid, blah, 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 and then there's four different people. So you're like, well, shit, now I gotta keep watching. That's usually what they do, usually. But just with 3 hours, you've got to have three of them, essentially. You got to have the 8 o'clock one, you got to have the 9 o'clock, and the 10 o'clock. And
yeah, you're asking a lot out of writers that aren't particularly good.
Yeah, or a writing staff that maybe has something, but their ideas just get shot down too often, you know? I don't know.
It's
that goes on there.
It's definitely a possibility. I mean, it's just not good.
No, it's not. But well, let's get into the CM Punk thing, and then we can move on to TNA. I like the interaction in the beginning. At least I like Punk talking in the beginning. And I was kind of hoping for something different for the angle in this. And as Eric pointed out, not on the site, because why bother? But whenever a heel champion needs something to do, they pick on Jerry Lawler now.
Oh.
So, and he's right. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with him. But it's like, after a while, wouldn't, I don't know, maybe this is where a better writer would come up. And I was kind of hoping Lawler wouldn't fight him. And Lawler would have sat back and went, like, maybe build it up over a few weeks, Punk just continually calling him out. You know, for whatever reason. And then Lawler suddenly just go, you know what? You're right the whole time. And then we can get a heel Jerry Lawler again. Because that'd be fantastic compared to what we get.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's too important to have Michael Cole as your heel lead announcer so that he can be in super awkward situations like having to act like a babyface on SmackDown when Josh Matthews is out.
Well, I thought that would be a fun double turn, though. All of a sudden, Mitchell Cole's the good guy, or the face, and Lawler's the heel, because even Cole's like, what's your problem? He just, you know, just starts ripping on all the baby faces, and You know, CM Punk really showed me, you know, he's exactly right. You know, whatever else, just like that.
Well, that would mean Jerry Lawler has something left in the gas tank to actually do. So, you're kind of asking for a lot there.
I know, but I don't know. What?
Yeah,
what
no, I mean, but in concept, I like it. I just don't think there's a real possibility that, I mean, Lawler seems like one of those wrestlers, you know, that just comes back part-time like Jericho, where it's just almost like, oh, okay, we need to cheer this guy, you know, we need to make him a babyface just because that's, we know the fans are going to cheer him no matter what.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I think that would be the hardest part of him being a heel announcer. But, I mean, you know what, and for crowd reaction, who cares? What you want is the heel announcer just bashing on the people. And you know what? He wrestles enough, what, once a year, something like that. Well, you know, sometimes he can get called out if you want to keep putting him in the ring. But he's in his 60s now, I believe, so why would you do that anyways?
62.
Yeah, so you don't want him in the ring.
Yeah, no, not even a little bit, because that was the other thing. It's just like, really? You're going to beat a 62-year-old?
And that's essentially what the end was, and it was boring. And they gave away, oh, what kind of match do you want to see? How about just a regular fucking match?
But, Jeremy, that means they wouldn't be interactive.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Don't make that interactive. Just go, do you think Jerry Lawler should fight CM Punk? Do that.
Well, that doesn't matter, because then they're just going to skew the numbers, because they already have it written that they're going to do that.
You know, WWE treats social media like a white guy hanging around with black guys. And I'm just now thinking of this, so just bear with me while I formulate this out loud.
Rock and roll. I like it already.
No, but it's all right. And I actually started thinking of Gene Wilder and of Richard Pryor. Was it Stir Crazy? I think it was.
I don't know which one you're thinking about. I believe they were in Stir Crazy together.
Stir Crazy or something else. Well, then there was, and there was also a part of Richard Pryor's stand-up when he was talking about Gene Wilder and when they were in a prison or talking to prisoners. But it's just like you try to act like where you're like. I should just formulated this and use it later, but oh well. But process, I guess. But no, it's like they go, oh, we've got Facebook, we got Twitter, we got Tout, we've got to figure out how to use these. How, like, a bunch of 40, I'm gonna go older, 50 and 60 year old men going, what do the kids listen to? What do the kids do nowadays? And then go, yeah, I like that band Korn, or like going to the white guy around black guys, all of a sudden they get street and they try using the same words that, you know, just two different cultures. And all of a sudden I'm going to adapt and I'm going to try and sound just like their culture. And it's like, nah, I don't know if culture is the right word there, but you know what I mean?
Right.
Like I don't talk the same as my friend Blau. He has a different way of speaking and probably better than mine, because I use bad terms all the time. But it'd be like if I was hanging out with his friends and I tried just going, all right, I'm going to sound cool. I'm going to sound just like these guys. So it makes it seem like I'm cool and hip and not, you know, like I'm down with them. And that's what WWE seems to be doing with social media. And they just force it and force it and force it. Like,
yeah, no, if I had a social media drinking game instead of the Twitter drinking game that I did there, I would be even more hammered than I was for the Twitter drinking game.
I've got my little flip cam, and I was just too lazy to get off the couch and get it. But the Stunk Granny Tout account would be just the worst thing. You just do it while we're watching. God damn it! Just while watching Raw, just making my own touts. Going, hey, you guys, that was awful. Did you just say that Layla was one of the greatest Divas champions in history? Are you fucking kidding? Was that 15 seconds? Okay, good. Fuck you. No, Have we talked about people who do the thumbs down in the crowd?
No.
Oh. Well, that shit drives me insane. That's like a total 1910 thing. You're at a... I was at Monster Truck Rally. I don't know why they'd have those in 1910, but whatever. But, no, like when something goes wrong, people are like, boo, and they put their thumb down, like Eric back in the 90s when he was at the TV tapings. I don't know. I've got the convention back on in the background.
Okay.
Chick had the double thumbs down going as Rick Santorum's talking. So he must have said something about Obamacare or something. And, but just what a dumbass gesture. Who cares? If you're at the top of the stadium going, boo, I mean, if you're booing, do you need to do the hand gesture as well?
I guess. I mean, why not? I mean, you're trying to get on – well, some of those schmucks are trying to get on camera, and they somehow think that they can.
Well, they finally found one chick that didn't look like her face was a catcher's mitt, so that was nice. I don't see Meghan McCain anywhere, so just
– oh, I thought you meant at Raw last night.
Well, they do that. Oh, little kids are stupid. They do anything. But when you see the adults are boo when the camera's on, it's like, are you kidding me? Just boo. Or just go, no. Or I just, how about you just calmly go, I don't like this. Or I don't like him. Just, why not? Just try something different. Or just do the finger wag. Just bring that back for a while.
Well, the best thing that they can do is just not go to the show.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. Well, my little boy wanted to go. I just want to make him happy. How about you save your money so that if you get laid off, you don't lose the house? Why don't you teach the kid some hard lessons? I don't care if he's five. So you can't always get what you want, dickhead. You're not worth it.
Well, no, I mean, I've gone to all the live TV tapings around here. I was seriously debating just not going the next time around.
I didn't go the last time it was around, just for that. I mean, it's too expensive. And can you imagine going to a 3-hour taping now?
Well, I mean, I usually got there in time for NXT or whatever this shit else was, taping beforehand. So, I mean, I guess I could believe that.
Man, NXT was, what, 15 minutes? 20 minutes? And it was a bunch of commercials. And really, you didn't really have to care about NXT? I mean, you know what? And maybe this still goes back to if they had some interesting acts, this wouldn't matter.
That would 100% help.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I know that it's part of the wrestler's gig to get themselves over, but again, like, it's so talk-driven.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have no idea how they think that anybody can do that without getting mic time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, I know that some of them aren't going to be the greatest. Some of them are going to bomb. It's going to happen. But, I mean, some of the guys bomb right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every time Sin Cara's on TV, he bombs. Bad. He overshot Damian Sandow last night. He almost jumped over the guy. But let's get out of WWE. I think we've exhausted that, and boy, we've exhausted that.
Well, yeah, I mean, at least for the Raw, for the time being.
Although,
it's going to happen again next week, too, so.
I wish I knew what he was talking about, see why these people are standing up and cheering. But TNA, we were talking about, Kevin and I were talking about earlier on Messenger about what we're going to talk about TNA, and it's they haven't been the greatest the last few weeks. I thought they put on some solid shows in a row for about 2 months, really. We didn't really say too much good about it. I mean, when you say, well, the shows haven't sucked, that's not really, not exactly high praise. But this Aces and Eights thing, let's start with that.
Okay.
I just think this thing's taken way too long.
I think it was this week or last week that it just hit me. I'm like, this is kind of ridiculous right now. You know, it just really did. It's just like, okay, like the intrigue was nice for a while, but now it's just like, come on, let's just get down to brass tacks. Let's just do this thing. You know,
yeah.
I just want to see who these guys are so that they can be either regular wrestlers or, you know, an outside faction that's trying to take over. Because they've got no mission other than to fuck shit up.
Mm-hmm.
And because what? They've been around about a month or so now? Month and a half?
Believe so.
Yeah, well, to me it's been over, you know, they've had enough time to at least maybe hint at something that would help out, but they really haven't done that at all.
I think you hit it though. They don't have an agenda. They took out Hogan, they took out Sting, or tried, if you want to put it that way. Outside of that, I don't understand their point. And I think that needs to be stated pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, even if they don't become full-time the wrestlers, as I was putting it, it really would help to say, hey, we're trying to take over.
Yeah.
Or whatever they're trying to, whatever they plan on having them do. Like, yeah, even if they give a mission statement and don't do anything more than that, I think that would satisfy what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Well, okay, yeah. I started thinking about something, and I was going right back to what you said. So, I think another big problem with this, and I think this is a big problem with last week, is you have no idea how many people are in the group.
Oh.
Like, they show a couple, and then all of a sudden, all of these other guys show up without the main guys, you know, the ones they've shown in the promo, if you want to call it that.
Right.
So, I mean, Mike, I mean, if I remember this right, this is off the top of my head, Mike Knox is one of them.
Chris Masters is one.
Yeah.
What's his name from Straight Edge Society? Luke Gallows.
Luke Gallows. Yeah, those are the three I remember. I know there's two others that we would both know, but I just don't remember. But that's not those guys. And they have to reveal sooner or later. There has to be a main guy. And from that main guy, there can be a support group. But then that's got to be it. You can't have this thing. Like, they're trying to make it seem like a legit biker gang, which on its merits is kind of different, so I don't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But they really have to go down and slim it down, define who it is. And I guess they kind of did that with the pledge on their shirt or jacket, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
But they'll need to address that and go, yeah, the pledges are just there. They're not around anymore. You know, they weren't cut it, whatever. But I don't see when they're going to do this. And...
yeah, I and the thing that's bad is that's the only thing that's really kind of ticking me off about the angle, because I've really been digging this whole build-up so far, and
yeah.
The placing the blame on Storm, but having him get attacked, and, you know, just it's nice not knowing the outcome.
Yeah. I mean, them beating up James Storm doesn't prove anything.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing that you would think announcers would be able to pick up on that, that it really doesn't mean that jack squat.
You know, gangs initiate each other by beating the hell out of the one guy, and that's how they pass their tests. Yeah. I don't know, man. That, I liked it at first because it was kind of intriguing. Then you see it's just a bunch of biker guys, and then you see that there's biker guys with a voice modulation, and then they get in fights, and no one just pulls a goddamn mask off. They keep, like, whenever someone's mask falls off, or if like, the one guy is supposed to, well, okay. And Taz and Tanae are always like, wait, who is it? Who is it? Well, you know what? I don't know who the fuck your gut check guys are. So why the hell am I going to know who these guys are? And, I mean, that's not true with the gut check guys, but, I mean, well, the last one, I had no clue who the fuck he was.
It's because he was an absolute nobody. And then that was it. Well, that was another just kind of a bizarre decision. Seemed like Joey Ryan was going to make it in at some point, and then I don't think he's been on for the last month or something like that.
After he punched Al Snow in the face, supposedly. Yeah, he hasn't been on. So it's like, come on, don't give us this garbage about this not being an angle. But it's definitely time for this to go. At least take a step forward. And also explain why the Aces and Ace guys only attacked Hogan and Sting, and then the entire locker room got in an uproar. Now, these guys attack each other all the time. Like, viciously attack each other, and the locker room doesn't get in an uproar. Is it because they're outsiders?
That's what they've been implying, for sure.
Yeah,
they haven't just completely said that, but it's certainly been the fact that they've, and I mean, I think they made it clear by having them attack both heels and baby faces. Like, if they had just been attacking baby faces, it would have been like, which one of the heels is behind this? But by having them attack both, you've kind of, to me, you've positioned them as a threat to everyone, not just, one half of the roster.
Yeah.
Which is what, and I mean, that was another good tactic that they used in whatchamahicket there, with Nexus. Because that's who I compared them to at first. They have certainly got away from any comparison of those guys.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know.
It's just an odd thing to me to have the baby faces and heels fighting against somebody, and then the heels, you know, being dicks, not just going out after the baby faces when they're not looking. Something like that. But, conversely, where the Aces and Eights is going kind of long, and it's still not, you know, not done. Boy, did this baby drama with AJ Styles sure come to a screeching halt after 6 months, I think, or 5 months, as you pointed out.
Yeah, no, because I really had, I hadn't realized that what Claire quit, and I don't care to look up whatever her real name is. I hadn't the foggiest clue that she decided to take off, because I'm like, they called her out, and I'm like, oh, okay, she's going to come out. And then she does. They have the lawyer come out, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, the lawyer just go and say, yeah, everything she said, everything's fake, and people put them up to blah, 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 blah. And it's like, huh? It didn't seem not a her name is Julia Riley, by the way.
Oh, okay. And I don't know why she stopped that gig, because it seems to be the only one that was paying her, so.
Well, no, Kevin. She was actually, an impersonator? She was a character, I believe, at Universal Studios. And she played Olive Oil. So,
wow. She had a big-time job there.
But just wait a sec. You gotta consider the logic here, okay? she's plain olive oil, Popeye's squeeze. And, you know, apparently guests were starting to notice her as
Claire.
Yeah. And that was causing problems. And then I guess she didn't want to be recognized or known as, you know, Claire Lynch from TNA, because she actually does a lot of local commercials for Orlando, whatever else, kind of like my ex's sister did.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So, you know, I guess part of me just wants to go, shut up, because you're supposed to be an actress. And everyone, you know, this angle is pretty Maury-ish anyways. So, you know, lighten up, don't worry about it, collect your paycheck. Conversely, was somebody in TNA just walking around the park, saw olive oil, and was like, that bitch is a good actor. I've got a part for you. I mean, you're in Florida. There's no other. You don't just go through a talent agency. There isn't some independent wrestler that wouldn't mind a shot. You know, you'd do something.
Well, and even it, do you not have an end game for the storyline? Like, okay, I'm getting noticed too much. Like, and I don't know how long this angle's actually been going on, but this thing has to have been 3 to 4 months at a minimum. And it's just like, well, when were you going to end this? Like, I mean, if they would have ended it sometime in a reasonable manner, then it wouldn't have been a problem for her, I would imagine. Like, she's gone this long with it.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, we had no idea how we were going to finish this or when we were going to finish this. Like, what, were they going to wait for Bound for Glory or something?
I have no idea. I have no idea how long they're going to drag this thing out. And I stand corrected what I was telling you earlier. Apparently you can do a prenatal paternity test. I had no idea. I thought you had to wait for the kid to get out, because that just sounds kind of dangerous to me. So, but whatever. So I guess that's what they were going to do. I'm torn on this one, because I kind of want to side with her, because I know she's playing olive oil. It's not exactly a step up, but who knows how much those people get paid. All right. I don't know. But you're dealing with wrestling fans, and you're dealing with the American public. So all it takes is for one dummy to see an episode of TNA with you in it as the pregnant, drug-addled, recovering drug addict, the pregnant woman with apparently have loose morals or whatever else. One dummy sees that, sees this loose floozy, pregnant loose floozy, advertising some Kias somewhere. The dummy that sees it calls the Kia dealership and says, hey, do you know what kind of person you have advertising? And the guy can't tell the lady, of course it's a lady, he can't tell the lady on the phone to go fuck herself. She's an actress. So he's forced to tell Claire or Julia, whatever I said her name was, hey, I'm getting bad press off of this. I've got to let you go. And then that same dummy says, oh, she's advertising a pest control place. Call them up and let them know. And it's not that far-fetched that stuff happens.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, no, it consistently cracks me up that for whatever reason, wrestlers get known for their character on air, but any other type of actor, like, they don't really.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, you're a human in your real life, but for some reason wrestlers are like, nope, you're still a wrestler now.
Yeah. And especially in this woman's case, she wasn't a wrestler. She was a paid actress.
Yeah.
She
was an actress doing an actress's job. And
so that one person, apparently, she would have been a great actress. in this hypothetical situation. But so no, I mean, I'm not gonna bash the lady for quitting.
Yeah, and, well,
you know,
yeah.
It's kind of unprofessional to drop out in the middle of a gig. You don't drop out in the middle of a movie. So, I mean, if you want to bash her on that, her unprofessional conduct in that manner, then, yeah, I'd definitely give it to you on that one. But yeah, but they just killed this out of the blue. It was not that there was going to be a satisfying end anyways, but...
Well, and they made it so obvious. And this was just another one that is just like... No one pointed out the obvious to me. Like, as soon as they showed those pictures, you could tell that AJ Styles wasn't even conscious. Like, the way they presented him, it's just like, well, like, one of the announcers isn't going to say, hey, that doesn't seem right. And even AJ himself was acting like a numbskull about it. He's like, well, I don't drink, but I don't know. Maybe I drank that night. Like, wouldn't you I mean, I'm sorry, like, if you don't drink that much, I mean, I don't even care if you're not straight edge and you just, like, get hammered every, like, blue moon or something, like, once a year you decide to get bombed. Like, aren't you going to remember that night that you get bombed, at least to know, like, oh, yeah, I got fucked that night.
Yeah, well, you know what? No one drinks and wakes up the next morning with a hangover going, did I drink last night? You don't forget that you were drinking. You black out so you don't remember what you're doing while you're drinking, but you never black out to where you go, why did I black out? That's never in the history of the world. That's never happened.
Yeah. Why do I have a banging headache this morning? I don't know. Maybe because I was fucking hammered last night. Like, even if you forget everything else, you do remember being hungover as fuck the next morning.
And even then, you know you remember the reason. It's like, you forget the shit while you're drinking, not before. You don't go, did I go to work yesterday? Well, yes, of course. I mean, anyway, you're exactly, I think we've proven the point, but you're exactly right.
Yeah.
And AJ, the worst is when he does the, like, hold his head thing, like, what? What are these pictures? Ugh.
Yeah, get a drug test and make sure that you have some roofies in you, and then you'll be good to go.
Yeah, at least, I mean, but roofies, you would still remember what you went out and what you were doing beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they made a drug that could make you forget, sign me up, motherfucker, because there's plenty. Like Beaker or Fat Chicks that I need to forget about, so. But, it's kind of like, and I was reading that review of X-Men 3 just for fun, and when Cyclops, I don't know if you've seen X-Men 3, but spoiler alert, Cyclops dies. Scream. Because James Marsden was busy making Superman Returns. So he could only do a little bit for this movie, so they killed him off. But with his schedule, they killed him off screen. So you got no sort of reaction out of it. And it's a disaster of a movie. And that's what this kind of likened it to. It's like, well, there was no, like, come to Jesus moment, as I like to say down south. Like, no moment of clarity for her. She just goes, I'm going to lawyer. Here you go. I'm done. You know, that's kind of unsatisfying. But, you know. But. So, yeah. So, there's the two TNA angles. That one's dead. The other one needs to change up pretty quick or it's just going to become a nuisance. You know?
Yep.
Yeah. But we went long. We're excising the Ring of Honor topic, which was Kevin Kelly is not good at his job. Maybe we'll pick some other time. Feel free to disagree. Doesn't really matter. So I guess we need to get out of here because I'm out of water and I'm getting parched. So, you got anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I just figured you're going to let me do the sign-off here, so I was just waiting for that moment.
All right, well, let me do the plugs. Okay, so you can any questions, comments, bitch fets, whatever you want to send, you can send it to us at stunkgranny@gmail.com. You can post on the you can actually comment on this post is what I meant to say. Also, you can follow us on Twitter. We're at StunkGranny. I'm at Granny Maze. Kevin is at DeFrango11. Dusty Giebink is Dusty Giebink. Eric just kind of uses StunkGranny now, so you don't have to worry about that. If there's ever something nastier about music with no one putting their initial at the end, that'd be Eric. Follow us on iTunes. We're a StunkGranny or StunkGranny audio show. We are on Tout, but we haven't put any videos up yet because really – really, it's kind of wasting time. But if you want to follow us on Tout, go ahead. We are Stunt Granny on Tout. As always, thanks for listening. I think that's everything. If not, it's okay. Turn it over to you, Kevin.
Okie doke. Well, it is time to grab a sippy time beer and destroy all the goodness that I did to myself at the gym. So have a good evening, grandkids.